Good morning. It is good to be here, and it's really good to be back in Colossians as we discover what the Word has for us this morning. Anybody remember what our theme verse is? You got it in front of you? Want to read it? We got somebody with a microphone so we can all hear. I should give you a clue. What's the theme verse? It's in chapter 1, verse 28. You want to read that, Brother Paul? Bring Brother Paul a mic, microphone.
Every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Amen. The becoming perfect in Christ, mature, complete. God has chosen us as Gentiles, not the chosen people. We become heirs of the grace of God, that we can become complete and grow, not just come to Christ and stay as babes in Christ, but become mature. So that's why we're doing Colossians. That's why we're studying the book of Colossians. That's why we study the Bible. We come together every Sunday, is so that we would grow. You know, Hebrews talks about, you know, not staying as babies and just drinking milk, but actually going on to be having, you know, the meat. And that's what we want to do as we go through the book of Colossians. The memory verse. Oh, yes. The memory verse. Who memorized it this Sunday? Oh, Brother Ralph. Give Brother Ralph a mic. He's the one to say it for us. I actually memorized it too this week. So I remember last week I didn't memorize it. This week I did. So good.
Yeah, Brother Ralph. Too. I was going to impress my dad. No. Colossians 1, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Thank you. Very good. Anyone else? Brother Derek.
If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Thank you. Anyone else? Any sisters want to try it? Well, Sister Lucinda here in front.
If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul am made a minister.
Very good. Very good. Anyone else? What does the verse mean? As you were memorizing it, what were some thoughts that came to you? Brother Ralph, then Sister Lucinda after that.
The main thing was that I wasn't sure if I should say where of I, Paul, or where. not because we are something big, but just we are made ministers of the gospel.
That's right. That's right. We can make that verse personal in each of our lives. That's right. It just happened to be Paul writing to these people, but it could be anybody. So Cindy here in the front row.
Yes, I was just thinking about some of the last verses we had as memory verses about being reconciled through his death, what he did for us, and how that makes us safe. And then there's that little word, or the big word, if. That really spoke to me.
If you continue in the faith. So that's what we want to do, right? We want to continue in the faith and be not moved from the hope of the gospel. We talked about this stuff before, right? Last few weeks we talked about faith and hope, and we don't want to be moved from that. Amen. And next Sunday, we're going to do three verses. Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. Can we say that together? to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Colossians 1:27-29. So that's a little larger assignment for next week, but I think you can do it. I'll give it a good try myself. All right. Today we are in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. Prayer for Colossae. That's what I'm calling it. It's Paul's desire for the Colossian Christians, what he purposes that would be accomplished in their lives. So why don't we start here with Sister Sandra in the front, and we're going to read verses 9 to 14. So each person read one verse. You can read it off the screen, or you can read it from your Bible, either one. And we'll just read the verses 9 through 14. Yeah, bring the microphone. Good.
And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son,
in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you. There's our first question. I don't want to go over time this morning, so we don't know how far we'll get. But let me apologize first of all. Last Sunday, I think I was in a bit of a hurry. Like I kind of had a goal of how much I wanted to cover last Sunday, and I felt like I was trying to rush things a little bit, and we kind of covered these verses a little bit, but it wasn't very good. It was sort of skimmed over the top. And I was talking to a brother later, and I realized that we didn't do justice to this at all. So that's why last Sunday I said we were actually going to be moving on to verse 15. But I thought, no, we're going to be better now. We're going to go back and we're going to study these verses the way we should be studying them. So I'm sorry about that. So let's not get in a hurry. Well, like somebody said, it's not about getting through the book, it's about getting into the book. So let's just try to keep that principle in our minds. Brother Alvin Stoll, would you want to pray for us this morning as we study these verses? Please give the mic to brother. Let's pick on a visitor and give him to pray for us this morning as we study these verses. Let's pray, Brother Alvin.
Yes, Father, we're very grateful again this morning to have a Father who cares for us and who seeks to feed us. Father, thank you for your word that you have left us this morning. Father, as Brother Jeremy desires to teach us, lead us in discerning your heart for us in Colossians, Father, just pray that you would open our hearts to what you have to share with us. As dear children, that we would pursue after you and seek the depths of the wisdom that is hidden in these verses, Father. Father, I just want to recognize and confess this morning that we need you. Certainly I need you above anything else that is in this world, Father. There's nothing present nor things to come that will fulfill our needs in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing that can move us from that. Father, may we just this morning pursue you like a deer pants for the water. Just bless our meditations on you this morning, Lord. Thank you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to move through these questions, and these are just trigger questions to generate our discussion this morning as we look into these verses. That the text is the verses that we read. And I want all of you to feel free to participate, young and old, brothers and sisters. Everyone is welcome to grab the microphone and participate in our discussion this morning. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Is that possible? Maybe you're one of the people that pray without ceasing. What does that mean, Brother White?
It's quite something, as you look in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where it brings it out there, pray without ceasing. And the verse prior to that is, rejoice evermore. It's like, whoa, two of the shortest verses, some of the hardest to keep, right? And I believe that, first of all, is that possible, prayer without ceasing? We maybe have to qualify what prayer is. What is prayer? You know, is it just talking to God? Like, then I can't do that while I'm on the phone with Brother Jeremy, right? And is it when I'm sleeping? You know, and as I ponder it and I looked at it, I think it's a sense of God's presence in all things, mm-hmm. in my life, in all that I do, mm-hmm. having Him as number one in my life, priority, and the deepest depths of my heart mm-hmm. is Christ. Mm-hmm. And to walk in that sense, I am in communion with Him, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? This koinonia, this fellowship with Him, and I'm praying there. You know, it's becoming as a my life is going up then as an incense before Him, mm-hmm. a sweet aroma, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think that's, for me, I look at it like, okay, maybe this is the prayer without ceasing. We could also look at it as, don't ever quit praying. You know, keep on praying, mm-hmm. just like how we keep on living, we keep on praying, right?
Yeah, amen. Now, I agree with that. I think that it's very good. How do you think that worked out practically in the life of the Apostle Paul? When he says, we have not ceased. You know, Paul says, I have not ceased to pray for you. And then he lists the things that he was praying for, the desires of his heart for the Colossian Christians. How do you think that worked out? Like, in your imagination, can you think of how that practically worked out in his life? As you imagine the Apostle Paul, this preacher guy that was going from town to town, How did he practically do what Dwight just described? Brother Randall?
I think that it could mean that whenever he heard about the subject, he didn't need any time to get his heart to it. Right. It was there immediately when it was mentioned.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we hear something, we kind of pause and say, oh, okay, now we're there. Yeah. It was not that way. He was there when he heard about it.
It was close to his heart, right, yeah. So you can imagine him, you know, he's traveling from place to place, and he's in the journey, and he meets someone. He says, "Oh, where are you from?" And he says, "Oh, I'm from Colossae." He says, "Oh," and he immediately begins to desire in his heart and pray in his heart for the church in Colossae. His heart was always there. He was his desire was so great for the church there that he took him, you know, like Randall said, no time at all to bring his heart to desire these things and pray these things for the church. Yeah, I agree with that. That's right. Any other thoughts on this? Brother Ivan here.
Sometimes in life we lose hope for individuals or circumstances, and I think this was just simply Paul not losing hope mm-hmm. in the church there.
Yeah. Yes, amen. You know how it's hopeful. It's how positive these things are. You know, it's largely positive. He's not looking at where they so much, you know, the things they should not be doing. But here's the things you should be doing. This is the direction you should be going. You know, not looking behind, but moving ahead. And I really appreciate that. You know, it's a very hopeful. You know, the things that we're going to look at is this. His desires for them was a very positive, hopeful outlook of the great things that he was expecting God to do in their lives. Any other comments or thoughts on this praying without ceasing, as it applies as in our own lives? Question number two: how can we be filled with this knowledge of His will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding? So one of the things Paul was praying for these people in Colossae, and these people in Hessen, his non-ceasing prayer was that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So what does that mean? How can you and I be filled with the knowledge of His will? Focusing on that being filled. How can that happen in my life? What has to transpire in our lives to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Well, Dwight.
Well, one of the ways we gain knowledge of His will is through His Word, and saturating ourselves in the Word of God. And this is how we get to know His will by His Word, His testimony. It said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In Psalms 19. And I think part of this is being filled with the knowledge of His will is to know Him. You know, and we get to know Him through His testimony from His Word.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What else has to have for the fill? What else? You know, that's, I agree. Saturated with the Word of God, absolutely. What does that imply for the fill?
I think another part to that is not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may reprove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I think that. Transformed and a renewed mind is really important.
Yeah, Phil said, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. And that's a result of what Brother Dwight said. You know, being in the Word of God, saturating ourselves with the Word of God, our life will become transformed. And that's a result. So you know, I was just thinking, suppose you're driving on the road, you run out of gas. So you're sitting along the road, and someone comes, and they have a you need a jug, right? You know, what do? You need a jug to get gas, right? To put it in your vehicle. And it's put, they have a jug, but the jug is full of water. Water doesn't do too good in your gas tank, right? So what do you got to do with the water before you put gas in the jug? Anybody? You got to empty it, right? You got to dump the water out. So I think that there's a principle there that applies in our Christian life. You know, I can, like Brother Dwight said, I can saturate myself with the Word of God, but a result of that will be that I got to get rid of all the junk, right? The water, the dross, the whatever you want to put in there. The Word of God has to displace the things that hinder me being filled, right? Because the Spirit of God wants to fill us thoroughly, and we want to be filled with the knowledge of God, but that filling automatically... Well, I shouldn't say automatically, but it will displace the negative things that are in our lives, right? See, you know, Jesus said, you know, remember the story where he said that there was a man that had a demon, and you know, he was cast out, and Jesus said he'll come back, if he finds the house empty, he'll come back with seven more demons, worse than himself. So it's not good enough. It doesn't work just to empty ourselves of bad stuff, right? We have to start filling our hearts and our lives with the Word of God, with saturating ourselves with the good, and that will displace the negative, right? Does that make sense? Is that right? So I think that's, you know, being saturated with the Word of God and displacing. You know, sometimes in our humanity, I think we get that wrong. We start getting rid of trying in our own strength to get rid of the bad stuff, but it doesn't last because we're not filling ourselves with the Word of God. With the power of God. Anybody else want to comment on that discussion?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to say exactly this, but also something I see maybe is in verse 8, where Epaphras came and said that they are, he declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And then says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, maybe that as they were learning, and like love is one fruit of the Holy Spirit, but as the Spirit, as they were filled more and more, that they would also come to understanding that they get this wisdom and spiritual understanding that they don't, like maybe they were very focused on just love and love in the Spirit. And that Paul says, go more, further, deeper in that, because then verse 10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So maybe that he just then prayed that they would get a greater understanding of what the Spirit actually could work in their lives.
Yeah, amen. You know, the God's work in your life, in my life, is not, you know, sometimes some of us, you know, we want to just, you know, some spiritual man to come and lay hands on us and zap us and you know, we become this great warrior of God, right? You know, but that's not really how it works, right? I mean, it's as a baby is born and grows up and develops, that's how it is in our spiritual life too, right? And so that's what Paul's saying is here, like Ralph pointed out, they have love in their spirits. But Paul says, and so I heard about that, I'm so excited about that, but we've got to move on. You've got to move on into spiritual understanding and wisdom and a worthy walk and all these things that Paul is pointing out to them. And you and I should not be discouraged if we see things in our life that aren't where they we're like, oh boy, I'm not quite making it in this point, that's the Spirit of God pointing that out to us, right? So it shouldn't be a source of discouragement. It should be a point of trying to be more filled and allow God to work more deeply in my life. Because sometimes I think that we see negative things and I get discouraged. I say, oh boy, I've been a Christian for so long. I just bumbling along. But that's the Spirit of God pointing that out to me in my life, right? So I need to take courage. And not let Satan discourage me, but to use those as points of encouragement to keep pressing on.
I believe we also have to ask for the knowledge of His will and ask Him for wisdom and for understanding.
Yes. We have to have the amen. We have to have the desire in our hearts. And we have to ask for it. That's right. It was in James where it says, you have not because you ask not. So I think asking is important. Absolutely. To have that, first of all, pray that God would put that desire in my heart to be more filled and to go deeper in the Word of God and God's work in my life. Amen. I appreciate that. What is, second part of that question we just looked at, what is spiritual wisdom? What is spiritual wisdom and, I guess you could say, spiritual understanding? What is that? You got that in your life? Well, Dwight, he got it, so he's going to talk.
I guess I'm just trying to participate in the class. No, I didn't feel bad about what you said. That's okay. What is spiritual wisdom? Well, it kind of really caught my eyes there last night as I look at it and meditate on it, that how specific it is in the Word of God, things, spiritual wisdom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's the wisdom of man, this world, that we many times are awed by, but, it's a spiritual wisdom that comes from above. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It tells us also there in James 3. Mm-hmm. I think it's, this spiritual wisdom, it's something that comes from God. It is a gift from Him, and I had to think, if we have spiritual wisdom and understanding, then we will be, like the team is, maturing in Christ. We'll be growing up in Him, because we're getting filled with all the goodies, right? The right stuff. And I think if we delight in His Word, meditate on it, make it become a part of our lives, true in our hearts, we're gaining spiritual wisdom. We see things from God's perspective, and from His way, we get a bigger understanding of what life is, and we see life from an eternal perspective as we view it.
I don't think I have the answer to this question, but just something that I guess I see sometimes is that maybe I'm too carnal to look at more than what I see with my eyes and feel with my hands. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's very spiritual. We need to see that there is a real battle going on in the spiritual world that our physical eyes don't see, but if we claim to be spiritual, I think we need to seriously look at that. The devil is trying to get every one of us, including our children, I feel, and it might be things in my home. I need to, as a father, guide through that and which I feel incapable of doing, but we need to see that the devil is trying to put little seeds of untruth into our children and into our homes and make it unserious. The spiritual battle is very important. Mm-hmm. And if we lose in that, we don't pay attention to that battle, and we're not really fighting. Mm-hmm. And God has called us to be warriors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if we don't even see that there is a battle, we don't pay attention to it, then we're not useful, number one, and probably not even part of the battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So Jonathan here in the front.
In my version here it says, with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He seems to separate those two a little bit, and I guess my thought there would be that, think of Solomon, he was a man that had a lot of wisdom, mm-hmm. but sometimes did many foolish things. Mm-hmm. And so, and yet he was a wise man. God gave him wisdom. Mm-hmm. So, is just having wisdom enough, or do we also need spiritual understanding? And I would say spiritual understanding is knowing how to apply that wisdom into my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. I think, you know, what Brother Randall, what Brother Dwight shared about God perspective, having God's perspective on my life, I think is a great part, you know, of spiritual wisdom, or, you know, this spiritual understanding. Wisdom, spiritual understanding to apply the wisdom. Brother Randall?
Yeah, I think that spiritual understanding and wisdom would be a little different things. I think there's a spiritual understanding. We can understand somewhat how the spirit, how the other man's spirit is, or myself. But then bringing wisdom into that, that's mm-hmm. a whole different story. To me, it looks like we could have probably understanding of a spiritual realm, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. but to get wisdom into it is, for me, a difficult thing anyways. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like how it says the knowledge of his will. You see, there's knowledge, just knowledge. You know, just having a lot of scientific knowledge about, you know, data and information, just being a very smart person isn't necessarily helpful, you know, in spiritual things. And even having a knowledge of the Bible, studying the Bible as a textbook, you know, as you know, knowing the biblical history and knowing theology. See, that's not necessarily going to give us spiritual wisdom. I mean, it's the knowledge of his will as revealed to us in the Bible, in the Word of God. It's the knowledge of his will that we need to, I think, that is the key to the spiritual wisdom. And through the knowledge of his will, we gain a God perspective. You know, that's why, are you ever in a situation as a Christian and you have a perspective on a certain issue and you talk to someone else that is not a Christian and they think you're crazy? You know, they're like, you know, why would you do that? You know, why would you spend thousands of dollars to fly to Hong Kong and carry Bibles into China? Like, I mean, think of all the fun things you could do with, you know, $3,000, whatever the tickets cost, right? And the time, we could, you know, go to the DR and go to a resort. You know, that spiritual understanding, that spiritual wisdom to see things from an eternal perspective, not from a human perspective, right? Anyone else on that, just on the thought of spiritual? Brother Ralph.
Yeah, I was just wanting to say exactly along that line, is this not what should set us apart from the world? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily mm-hmm. things we do, but mm-hmm. this spiritual wisdom and understanding, mm-hmm. that is the real key of why we are different. That's why we make our choices. That's
right.
Why,
yeah.
that is the whole difference. Mm-hmm. We have a totally, mm-hmm. we have God, the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. We know God's will mm-hmm. in spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is the real key to mm-hmm. living a Christian life. Mm-hmm. Or one yeah. of them.
Yeah, amen, amen. Okay, anyone else? We have covered 3 questions out of 10, or not 9. So, I think we'll stay right here and come back to this next Sunday. It's almost 5:52. I think we want to. Anyone have a closing thought or comment on what we've talked about this morning already, anything in our discussion this morning. Just a reminder, that's a memory verse for next Sunday, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 and 29. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. All right. Thank you for your participation. I really enjoyed the study this morning. Let's continue studying at home and to come back next Sunday and to look into Colossians again and find some more words for our own lives to continue to change us and grow us up into maturity. Thank you so much.